What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is episode number 131 of the Prodigal Sons podcast. Today is May 2nd, 2023.
You're saying the date now?
Well, I figure when, you know, someday people are going to want to look back and see how it all started. So I tell them what the day is so they can be like, it's, you know, nostalgia.
Okay.
Besides, I like to prove to myself how long we've been on the air because I never would have believed it would have been this long. I gave us like 5 episodes when we started. And it's been like, what, 10 years now?
We went from 3 to 5.
3 to 5 what?
People from last week to this week.
3 to 5.
That's quite an improvement.
I'm so proud that he can count. He has been watching Sesame Street.
That's right. That's right.
One.
Boom, boom, bop, boom, boom.
Very, very proud of this man. Lives right next door to Grover.
At Oscar the Grouch.
Cookie Monster's my favorite.
As always, I'm Dave Duncan, and I'm joined by now Pastor Tom Rivera.
Hello.
I am joined by Elijah.
Hi, guys. How's it going? Cool? Great. Mind your business, Tom. Pastor Tom, please. This is not the time for that because I saw you leaning in. I was about to say something, and I caught you because I was awake and not asleep.
Not yet.
Yeah. Amen.
Give him 32 minutes.
Yeah.
26.
We are joined by Sean Conroy.
Hey, how are you?
The best.
Wow. That's a voice.
Yeah, that came out. I don't know. That's got to be the microphone.
That is going to be
This is your bassy microphone.
No, I need that mic.
Yeah, seriously. This is
that is bassy.
That is really deep.
Yo, that's, that's the voice we used to do as answering machine. Hi, you've reached. No, I don't like it.
No, just keep going.
Oh, you've reached. Maybe I should get a popper.
No.
Put a pop filter on there.
You need what you need is a popper, and you need to reduce your microphone value by about $100. And then you'll be over there with Conroy.
You'll be over here with Barry.
Oh, really?
You'll be over here with Barry White over here.
Yeah.
We're joined by one of the most outspoken producers in the podcast game, Lisa Duncan. Nothing.
We didn't even get a head nod. She didn't even look up.
Nothing.
We're going to have to get her like a cricket thing. She can just
take Yeah. I like that.
And after 3 years, finally, the restraining order has been temporarily lifted. And we're joined by Dr. Matt Woodley.
What restraining order?
I thought that's why you didn't come on, because of the restraining order.
It's Tom.
No, the one you had against us, because we... Oh. Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Shawshank.
Actually, truthfully, we're all just way too cheap to pay for copays, so that's why we have you on. So we're going to ask you all our medical questions.
It's all good. You can have this one for free.
What is a normal amount of pus?
And what?
Ooh.
Maybe we'll go on
probably
this.
Probably no pus would be a normal amount of pus.
Okay, maybe it. What's the matter, Elijah? You asked me to ask him that.
I did no such thing.
He was just eating tacos.
Well, welcome to the show. I got you this gift.
What is this?
Thank
Can
you.
I open it now?
You have to open it now.
It's from 3 Christmases ago.
Loads of Christmas cheer.
Yeah, we don't do topical gift
bags. Is that what Elijah gave you for our Secret Santa?
It is just paper.
It's not paper. There's a very thoughtful gift in there.
All right. All right, my glasses.
My glasses.
I forgot these at his house.
I got him a beautiful pair of sunglasses.
We went for a great bike ride the other day.
We did.
Beautiful.
We did. You know, Tom and I used to go for walks.
We're going this Thursday at 6:30.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I'll be there.
Where are you going?
We started going for a weekly walk.
You're welcome to join us.
Yeah. We started going for a weekly walk, and that lasted a week.
That's cute.
We've only missed 1 week.
So we're at 50%.
Yeah, which is going to go up.
It's like it's like an ERA in April. Like it can get better or worse real quick.
It's going to get better.
All right. So we are up to 280,000 listeners in the metaverse, but we are struggling here in the regular universe with only...
We didn't gain many from last week if we're only at 280.
Yeah, it's like 4,000. It's kind of tapered off in the metaverse. We're only at a couple hundred in the real universe. So I did think about... Could we go with the megachurch formula for getting more viewers?
What's that?
Smoke machine and Australian accents.
Hmm. Smoke machines.
Elijah, how's your Australian?
Faustus.
That's all you got?
Sean could probably do a really good one.
You got Australian in there? Good day, mate.
Hey, mate. Call that a knife.
Yeah. All right, so keep working on that. I'll order a smoke machine. next week. Is anybody, can you do the hand movements? What? The hand movements for when they're singing. They all do the same hand movements.
You just look like you was intensely praising Jesus.
I know. That's the, Elijah's got it down. All right, Elijah, you do that.
Oh, the 8 mile thing.
The 8 mile thing. Yeah, so you do that. A little bit slower. A little bit slower. There you go. Right there.
Am I slow-mo?
I'll get the smoke machine. Sean's got the Australian. What are you doing, Tom? That's not helpful.
That's not a thing. Right.
I think it's just a three-person job.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you need to grow the church.
So,
well, no. I guess it is two because he didn't really do anything.
What did I do?
Nothing.
All right, I lost it. I stopped paying attention. Did you guys know?
Are you wordless? What's going on with you today?
I don't know.
Like, seriously, you always like come out with the topics, and now you're like,
it's my mind. All because we have an actual professional.
The problem is I'm usually the smartest person in the room.
Oh,
and it's a really low bar to clear. Wow. And right now I'm just at a little bit of a loss.
I don't think you're smarter than Lisa, but go ahead.
I meant, yeah, the table, not the room. Yeah, this side of the room.
Gotta say the table.
Yeah. The west side of the room. Yeah. See, look. The west side.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm from the west side of the room.
If you guys see the smoke coming out of his ears as he tries to figure out the direction he's talking about, it's crazy. Smoke detectors about to go off, sprinklers and everything. Go ahead, what'd you say?
I don't remember. Australian.
Yeah, we stopped listening to you,
smoke machine. Oh, on Sunday, something very, very cool happened. There was an installation of something very special.
Xfinity came yesterday.
Let me be the first person to tell you, I have a brand new toilet seat in my bathroom.
Nice.
It got installed on Sunday, and it is fantastic.
Bidet?
It actually is.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations.
It's wonderful. Anything else get installed on Sunday?
No, because Xfinity came Monday.
Xfinity was on Monday. Toilet seat was on Sunday.
Today they're going to install a new MVP. MVP
for right. MVP. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Install.
Well, you wouldn't know because you weren't here.
Nope. I was eating pancakes while I was listening to it, while I was watching on Facebook.
Eating pancakes.
Mm-hmm. I made them. They had the crispy edges with the butter crispy. Oh, they were amazing. I like amazing. Pancakes.
I didn't get a call.
Yeah, well, none of us got
you guys
want
to go out for pancakes? Let's just bag the show.
Yeah, let's go get pancakes now.
We can probably like Uber Eats pancakes for like $86.
Uber Eats a hanger. You can Uber a hanger from...
Candles.
A hammer from Home Depot.
You can get a hammer and... I've never used Uber Eats for anything.
You can Uber anything.
What's up with me?
How's the Uber Eats over there in Papua New Guinea, Matt?
There's no McDonald's over there. It's one of the only countries without a McDonald's. What?
I feel like there's a franchise opportunity for you.
Yeah.
McDowell's? You got a McDowell's?
Also, probably...
McDowell's? They got the Golden Arcs.
So Matt is a missionary doctor to Papua New Guinea, and we will be talking to him later, and we're looking forward to it. But I feel like if you franchise the McDonald's over there...
Wow.
How many years? How long have we been doing this?
Wow. 3 years.
And he just literally started the show by giving the date so we can know how long we did it,
so now
and his ringer is on his phone.
I don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't my phone. Just because it was right there doesn't mean it was mine.
It's the one lighting up with the number.
Well, that's what all phones do.
Just yours did it.
Touché, good sir.
I think if you started a franchise, a McDonald's franchise over there, it would also increase the amount of medical emergencies. So
constipation.
Job security.
Diarrhea.
We call it salaries and calories. So, as you get a living wage, as you get a job, then you eat
more calories.
Fat and calories. And, yeah, because most people eat really healthy over there. But, yeah, we're getting into me. You're supposed to keep chatting. You keep asking me questions, so what am I supposed to do?
So...
He told you.
I like that. Salaries and calories.
It looked like the 76ers were going to be playing the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, but unfortunately, my boys are not holding.
So I want to go back to the installation thing real quick.
What? We went over the toilet seat. Do you want me to send you an Amazon?
And it's not really about who got installed, but the line that was put on this frame... is priceless. I asked around, and it came from our very own Dave Duncan. So to recap, before I was called into ministry, my last job was I was an owner of an ice cream shop on High Street in Pottstown. And the line here says, his life's journey took him from serving the most on High Street to serving the Lord most high. And I thought,
oh, Pastor Tom was installed on Sunday. That's what it was. Oh, congratulations, Pastor Tom.
Thank you. But, yeah, I forgot about good that. Job on that, man. That is awesome.
All I did was come up with one brain cell fired. I had an idea.
And it was so good.
But somebody else took the idea and actually made that happen. I had nothing to do with the actual.
And Renee, our very own Renee from the church, drew the old Rister's logo on there. And she did a great job.
She added some wrinkles.
Just smile.
I'm just.
So is this the first show we're going to have that is going to have breaking news at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, this is the first show that we're going to have breaking news. And it's going to be either a good show or a bad show, depending on what happens
at
7.
It's going to be a great show because we have Dr. Matt here.
That's right.
But it would be disappointing if what we want to happen on the...
Not what we want, what should.
What should.
What's very much... Right, Sean?
Sure. Larry Bird's not up for it.
Oh,
that's right. You were a Celtic fan.
I'm from Boston. I'm not a Celtics fan. I haven't been a Celtics fan.
What
since
happened
like
is,
you don't watch basketball at all.
No.
No, Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, they seem to get it like all the time. So they're trying to do this year is give it to somebody else. And there's a new young buck, LeBron something or another, that might get it, but it's probably going to be Joel.
Isn't he like 64
LeBron's not
now?
Even in the running for it.
Joel Embiid.
Isn't LeBron like 65 now?
I don't know. I heard today that Michael Jordan makes $400 million a year. Off the shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$400 million.
Here's a good story about that. So the year that Michael Jordan got signed with Nike was the exact same year that Barkley got signed. And Jordan saw Barkley's contract, and he was getting $3 million. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
And he was getting $3 million for his contract. And Jordan walks up to him and says, "Do you need that much money?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I saw your contract. They're paying you $3 million. You don't need that much money. My advice to you is rewrite the contract, tell them to only pay you $1 million, and buy $2 million worth of stocks in Nike."
Wow. Yeah.
And now years later, I just paid him way more than he ever made.
Yeah, so apparently he didn't want to sign with Nike, but they talked to his mother and convinced her to persuade Michael to sign with Nike.
I was going to ask you, did you hear the other story that's going around that Michael Jordan is Jimmy Buckett's dad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
I heard that one, too. But they said that that his mom convinced Nike to give him a piece of every shoe that was sold. So that decision makes him $400 million
now,
a year
the
now.
Bad part about that's a great deal, but the bad part about that is when he goes, that deal goes. Meaning when he passes away, that does not go to his kids.
So only $400 million a year for like 30 years will be passed on to his kids.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Hopefully, they'll, you know, thoughts and prayers. They'll be able to get by.
I'll add them to the prayer list. Hold on.
Hey, Dr. Matt.
Oh, thank you.
What do you know about this gigantic can of Red Bull?
That thing is ginormous.
So
that cannot be healthy.
Love it. Tom swims in that thing.
Love it.
So I'll read the ingredients. You tell me which of these ingredients are benefiting our Pastor Tom. Carbonated water, okay. Sugar, glucose, citric acid, taurine, sodium bicarbonate, magnesium carbonate. Just colors. How is that an ingredient? It just says colors.
I'm sorry, you have a minority on here. So if you ask me what my favorite Kool-Aid flavor is, I'm saying red. So
okay, caffeine. Have you ever heard of niacinamide?
Yeah, they put it in bullets.
In bullets. Peroxidine. Calcium panthenone.
Yes, for you.
Oh, it does have the last very last ingredient is vitamin B12.
Okay. Yes, there it is. So ask me where I get my vitamin B12 from.
Your Red Bull.
So that's gonna. What do you think that's doing to inside of his body right now?
Yeah, I just think for the heart, just drive it crazy, make it pump really fast.
You don't need
Well, he does have a big heart, like enlarged from Red Bull. It gives you a big heart.
A big heart. Lots of love in there. But I don't think that's the Red Bull. I think that's Jesus.
Thank you. Amen. On the flip side, I will not be drinking this whole thing tonight. I got it at 12 o'clock today.
He puts a stopper in it at night like a bottle of wine. And then he puts it back in the fridge. He gets it out the next morning.
Gets like it out. He aerates it.
And actually, he dates him because he's like, oh, this is a good vintage. It's a 1992 Red Bull.
Well, he says that he just opened it at 12, but I see this sweat in the can at the bottom of it. So it looks like it's fairly new.
Oh, I put it in the fridge.
Yeah, it's iced. Yeah.
Chilled it off.
I actually opened it.
Oh, chilled.
He put it in. He chilled it.
I opened it when I got down here.
He opened it to breathe, and now he's like.
So how is that different than like coffee? It's just super concentrated.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
I think it also has some other things that gives you energy, but it's just too much stimulant in one little.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? He's not too much stimulant. Yeah.
So yeah, I've seen people that come into the ER. We don't have it in PNG, but
it's actually legal in other countries.
Yeah, it might be.
No, it is.
We have something similar. It's called Boo, B-U. But it can what cause heart arrhythmias. Where you'd like
can you send us some of that?
Boo?
Hey, I thought you were married. You tried to scare me. He said, boo. I'm not scared, sir.
So is it made by Red Bull or is it just like a knockoff Red Bull?
I think it's a knockoff.
Okay.
It's probably even worse.
But you said you had people come into the ER when you worked here?
Yeah. With heart arrhythmias.
For energy drinks.
Fantastic.
For energy drinks, yeah.
You have to shock it back?
Oh my god.
They usually will go back to normal after it wears off, but not always.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes you do need it.
Look at all the things you have to look forward to.
You know what I see in the mornings when I go, whenever I go to Wawa in the morning, there's this guy. He's a mechanic, pretty big guy. He goes in, goes to the freezer, he grabs like three monsters. And I'm just like, wow. It's like almost every auto place you go into, you're going to see a monster. Not the person, the drink.
Oh.
You got scared a little bit. I saw you.
But thank you for supporting Sergio Perez. He's my favorite F1 driver.
So, you didn't watch the game at all then? The Celtics and the Sixers game last night?
No.
No?
So I didn't know they were playing last night.
You don't watch any playoff games when it comes to the NBA?
I went out for dinner with the kids last week. And I did see like the Celtics-Hawks game. It was on the TV.
Last week. We're talking about last night. He goes, I went out to dinner last week.
I'm just saying, for point of reference, it was on the TV.
Yeah.
And I asked the guy to change it to golf.
NBA Finals. Will you watch that?
I don't know. I thought maybe it was a rerun. I don't know.
You won't watch the finals?
No.
He said he asked them to change
it. Yeah, I got it.
Actually, I asked him to change it to baseball.
Yeah. The same thing.
So disrespectful.
Same thing. Did Dave just leave us?
No, we were talking about the basketball.
I'm assuming you didn't watch the game.
I was going to get up and walk away, too.
Did not.
So I told you this earlier, but I need to say it again because when there was 12 seconds left and Harden had the ball and he took that three-pointer, I got so mad. And it was a mood swing from mad to super joyous in less than a second. Well, I thought he should have went in for a layup and tried, but he shot a three-pointer. I'm like, "What are you? Yeah."
Yeah.
Listen, the whole time I did not think we were going to win that game.
I didn't either.
I did not think we were going to win that game.
I thought we had a bit of a false hope when Maxey started going off, and then Milton was doing his thing, and when. You know, when they got close to the wire.
And then Maxey got into foul trouble right at the end. I'm like, he can't even guard anybody right now.
Yeah, and he had to let layups go through. We had no rim protector, and it's just like.
You know what's exciting, though? A lot of their points came from the paint, and if Joel was there, it would have been a different thing.
It would have been different. I think we might have lost if Embiid was there. Because it forced everybody to step up and not depend on that one big guy.
45 points was huge. And he wasn't afraid to shoot that ball, man.
And he wore dress jeans.
Did you see that outfit before he came on?
Oh, my God. Looked like a blanket.
I wish we had
it was bad.
So I watched the second half of that game, and the 76ers are really impressive, especially shooting the three. I do have to say that Philadelphia cheesesteaks must be fantastic. Because y'all have some of the fattest basketball players I've ever seen in my life. They look like they're so out of shape. Oh, listen, they're not bad. Like, they're good. They
Oh, I'm sorry. We eat cheesesteaks, and your team eat what, falafel and shawarma?
I don't know what they're eating, but they look a lot healthier. I'm not saying they're better.
No, that's what you're saying. That is what you're saying.
It's New York. They're not eating anything. They can't afford the apartments they live in.
This is very true.
Dude, very James true. Harden, these guys run like 6 miles a game. They do. Back and forth, they run like 6 miles a game. James Harden looks like he... I wrote the numbers down. You got James.
Wow, you did that much. Oh, let's hear this.
James Harden, PJ Tucker, and how do you pronounce it? Niang?
Mm-hmm. George Niang.
It looks like three dads that walked into the YMCA, dropped their kids off at swim class, and then were like, yo, you want to burn off that pizza we just ate?
Yo!
Dude, they are so.
But guess what? Here's what they can do that your guards can't.
What's that?
You haven't had a guard that can back somebody down since Anthony Mason. We have big guards. We will put a little guard in the paint, put them in a spin cycle, and squash them.
All I'm saying is I don't know how that Harden eats so much with that giant beard. And like I feel like he should come out onto the floor with like food stuck in there.
You never seen him sit on the bench with the popcorn and do this and little birds come out?
It is huge. Like, I remember the story was a few years ago that he gained weight to get traded. I don't think that's why. I think he just gained weight because he likes the cheesesteak.
One team trolled him one time when he visited their arena, and the picture they had up for the lineup was him without the beard.
But it does bother me. And listen, I'm like, okay, so I'm not.
Did you see this last night?
No.
That's what he wore the game.
Oh, my God, look at this outfit, man.
That's what he wore to the game.
That's what he wore? I thought that was a meme.
No, that's what he wore last night to the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wear that again tomorrow, my friend.
He looks like a futuristic prophet. Like he's bringing some sort of message of something.
Like he's got the book of Eli, but it's empty.
Right. Well, it's baggy. Maybe he got that from like the pregnancy section or something like that. Like it's
maternity pant.
A 6'5" maternity section.
Nope, because he jumped so high, parachute pants.
Oh my, oh my! He's a strange bird, ain't
he? Yeah.
They take fashion to a whole new level.
He always looks so angry because the beard only leaves room for his teeth, and so every time he smiles, it looks like he's like flashing his teeth, like he's gonna bite you.
Dude, it's always, a little scary. It's him. It's Russell Westbrook, is Cam Newton.
Well, I wish you and your dad bod team the best. But it does bother me.
That is so mean.
It does bother me when athletes, like the Yankees, who are awful right now, were playing Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland yesterday. Their first baseman is like 90 pounds overweight. I'm like, you have the opportunity to play a game like that children play for fun mm-hmm. and make millions of dollars a year. Mm-hmm. And you're trading the back end of your career for nachos.
I got two words when we talk about overweight looking athletes.
What's that?
Prince Fielder.
Oh, yeah. Who was the third baseman for the Red Sox a couple years ago? He was the first baseman. Third baseman for the Red Sox was like round.
Was it Sandoval?
Yeah, I think so. Sandoval. I think so. And they were like, this guy's incredible. He's beating all the odds. And then he just fell out of the league.
CeCe Sabathia.
So CeCe Sabathia is actually interesting. He was a 320-pound pitcher.
Did he play for y'all?
He lost one offseason. He lost like 95 pounds. He also lost 5 miles an hour off his fastball, and that was the worst year he ever had. So he gained it all back, finished his career, and then lost it all. He's ripped right now. He's like a weightlifter.
Wasn't he a Yankee?
Yeah.
I'm done with this conversation.
Did he ever get busted for PEDs?
No. He never threw hard enough to be suspected for PEDs. He threw like 92 miles an hour.
I'm sorry. A lot of people on your team have PED issues.
Who?
I apologize.
Who other than Roger Clemens?
Alex Rodriguez.
Who other than Alex Rodriguez and Roger Clemens?
And Jason Giambi.
Okay. Who other than Jason Giambi? Roger Clemens.
Listen, the Red Sox are just as bad. I mean, Clemens came from us. So.
Okay, and I do remember a thing about Robinson Cano. So other than those four, we have had an issue with drug abuse. Okay, yeah, but that is not a criminal act. That is something that they need prayer for,
and we will pray for them.
And they might need like an intervention. But just because they have a problem, they back in. You know what happened? It's New York, so the real estate in the locker room's smaller. Because the real estate's expensive, and they back into Neal's. That's what happened.
Oh,
from the street. They're on the street just coming through the locker room.
It was
the
big thing in the 90s. You know, they would like try to get out of somebody's way. Oh, excuse me. Ow!
Hey, I'm not feeling so good. Let me go meet my doctor in the alley.
Mm. But they don't do that anymore, I think.
You'd hope.
Let's talk about Houston and how they cheat.
They used electronics. They didn't use drugs.
Seems a little safer.
Did you see that interview with Giannis after the game when they asked him about...
Beautiful, beautiful answer.
Best response I've ever heard in sports history.
Beautiful answer.
Yeah.
That answer was...
Oh, did you hear it?
No.
When they asked him if that loss, after losing, do you consider your season to be...
A failure. Oh, yeah.
I did hear that. I saw that one, too.
And so he said it's not good. Nothing's a failure. Yeah.
He said, so Michael Jordan went to the playoffs 9 times, won 6. Is that a failure? Did he fail the years he didn't go? Yeah. No.
This year, if you don't get a promotion in your job or get an advancement, is it a failure? Like, it was just... And then he was so humble about it. He goes, I don't want to make it personal. You know, and he just kept his composure. So good. That he better not get the MVP.
Has anybody here ever been to Italy?
No. I went to an Olive Garden once.
I've been to Little Italy up in Boston.
Yeah.
I ran into a friend of mine. I'm so hyped. I ran into a friend of mine who, his wife is a, she has a nurse practitioner. She has a practice. She has her practice.
Okay.
And he sells insurance. And he has dual citizenship in Italy, and I knew he was doing this, so I ran into him at Costco, and he was like, I was asking him how his house was going that he was having worked on in Italy, and he was, you know, telling me what was going on. He was like, man, I'm really just trying to go back. He's like, I'm trying to go next month. And then he was like, listen, you and the kids want to go to Italy, you got a place to stay.
Cool.
And I'm like, it's time I start saving for that trip.
So can I be like one of your kids? You think that would fly?
Pay my airfare, then yeah.
Ooh. What if I buy you a bag of peanuts for the airplane? Oh, you can't eat peanuts on an airplane.
No.
What about popcorn?
No popcorn.
You're going to Florida this summer, though, right?
No.
What happened?
I'm not going to Florida. I am going to Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
It's on the way.
We're going to Virginia.
Well, Virginia's on the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, where?
Colonial.
Colonial. Yeah, well, last year. It's a lot of fun.
I just didn't like the brochure.
The what?
The brochure of like the
of Florida?
Williams, like Colonial Williamsburg. Oh. Like they had like the reenactments. It's like kids with like potato sacks on and stuff. I'm like, yo, this is too real. I don't want to go.
You're talking about the Giannis thing. Did you, speaking of fun sports stories, did you see Dallas Cowboys draft?
Who did they get?
You guys really didn't hear about this?
No, please enlighten us.
The running back?
Is he a running back? Hang on.
Another Deuce?
Deuce Vaughn. I read something about it. About the
Bigelow?
His dad worked for...
Exactly. Yeah, so Dallas Cowboys scout. His son was actually... Deuce Bigelow. What an animal. Can you please get your respect to the proper level?
Yes.
When you come to this show?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So Chris Vaughn is a scout for the Dallas Cowboys. And he...
Is he related to Ricky Vaughn?
Yeah, this is his brother, half-brother.
Major League.
So his son was a college football player, Deuce Vaughn, and he was eligible to be drafted. And the Dallas Cowboys drafted him. And they let the dad make the phone call to his son. And he calls him and he said, hey, son, I'm calling you from the landline because my cell's not working. He's like, you want to come to work with me next week? And that was pretty cool. Yeah. It was a cool moment. Yeah. It was really, and they have, you can find the.
They really did that?
It was the first time in my life I've ever thought of anything positive about the Cowboys.
Yeah, Tom Landry was a good coach.
Yeah.
What team did he coach?
The Cowboys.
Oh.
America's team. Which is weird because I'm an American. I hate that team.
That's not why it's called America's team.
That's not it?
No, that's not. Somebody told me.
Is it South America's team?
Mm-mm.
The Eagles,
no,
America's team.
America actually owns the team.
What?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that either. Really?
Do I own the team? I own part of the team?
Pretty much. The United States paid for the Dallas Cowboys to stay in business.
Oh, wow. I'm a big fan. Do I get like royalties or something? Oh, I'm not
a
fan.
No, it's like everything else in the government. They just give it away. And we just get to pay for it.
Well,
is that by refreshing?
I've never heard of this, but I would like to.
Yeah, I never knew that.
I'd like to get my money back.
Me too. Jerry Jones got rich off of the United States money.
Tom, before we make Dr. Matt do the second half of our show.
I was just about to transition.
What did you... Is there something about Chris?
Yeah.
That he's not here, you wanted to make fun of him?
So here's the thing, dude. So I watched... Did you get to watch the episode that they did last week?
I didn't. I didn't get home till like 7:45.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm.
So during the whole episode, you didn't see Chris's face once.
What's up, Shane? I just saw
what was he doing?
He sat in your seat.
Okay. But well, it's not my seat. We share. It's going to be a rotation. It's not necessarily mine.
He sat on that spot.
Okay, he sat here.
And faced this way the whole time.
So you just do it like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how he can't sit in the middle because he always faces...
Yeah, I can't sit in the middle.
His face, not once. The whole time was either from here or you can see this way looking at him because he was sitting right here. Dude.
I'll have to watch the episode now.
Literally didn't look at the camera one time. You can just see the side of his thing the whole time.
So
and the interesting
that's because he was trying to mirror me. He's a good host. You know, he's in the corner. He's trying to mirror.
They had open talk for 46 minutes and 20 seconds.
I know. I think we Elijah.
Did you time it?
I feel
well, it's on the thing. It's
oh, so you just.
I feel like
they're still talking. When are they going to get to the topic?
I feel like we could have gone the full hour.
We could have.
I think
there,
next
was
time.
There a topic?
No, not really.
Okay, that's good.
I think next time we'll try to do the full hour.
We should.
I think we can make it.
I'm sure. Dr. Matt, will you join us for that full hour? Please.
He's like, no, not interested.
Well, the thing is that, you know, what Jesus had to go back to the Father, right? And before he went back to his Father, he said one very important thing. And the interesting thing about this verse here is that I've done my last four sermons on discipleship. And then when we went to district assembly, they talked about missions and discipleship. And Dr. Gustavo actually preached on this verse, and it comes from Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And it's funny because I got on the computer today and I started working on this episode and I started Googling verses about missions and what the Bible says about missions. And literally, there's over 250 verses in the Bible that talk about missions. One of the ones that I really, really thought was really good was, but you will receive power, then the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, right? But then in Romans 10, 13 through 14, it really hits it because without missions, right, without the missionaries, there's no way to go to the other countries, you know. And granted, we are missionary. We're all missionaries. We're all missionaries, local missionaries. We're all missionaries. But Romans 10, 13 through 14, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How, then, can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they haven't heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, right? So we got the opportunity to, and I was so proud at District Assembly because the Woodleys were the missionaries, and they're from the Royersford Church of the Nazarene. So it was really cool to have our missionaries there. And so we have Doctor, and I'm sorry because we did make a deal. I don't call him Doctor. He doesn't call me Pastor. So this
you're breaking it right now.
I am, and I won't do it again. But this gentleman sitting right here and his family are missionaries at Papua New Guinea. And it's awesome because I had the chance to hear him speak at District Assembly. And everything that they spoke about medically, whether it's picking a fruit, whether it's teaching somebody something, it all surrounds around Jesus. You know, when something serious happens in the hospital, the first thing they go to is prayer. So that being said, we have Matt Woodley. We're trying to get his wife on, but maybe some other episode she can come on. But we're so happy to have you here. We're so glad you're home. And the sermon you did on the fruits of the Spirit. I wish I had the pictures of you guys dressed as the Fruit of the Loom people.
I wasn't Fruit of the Loom. Just fruit. Come on, man.
But it was a great story because they were all dressed in fruit. Uh-huh. And the general superintendent of the whole Church of the Nazarene came to see them for the first time. And the first time they met them, they were dressed in fruit. So it was really cool. But why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, and
how you got into this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for that intro. That was way more than I deserve. I think basically I became a Christian when I was young. My dad was a pastor. And I think just naturally, when you're a Christian, when you experience Jesus in a powerful way, just the natural inclination is to want to share that with others. So I've always wanted to share that with others since I was a kid. It wasn't until I was a teenager when a medical missionary from the Congo in Africa came and spoke to our youth group. And he just talked about how much of an impact he could make in people's lives by not only sharing the gospel with them, but by healing them at the same time. And just meet people at sometimes their greatest need. Just do a huge work in their life. So I was hooked right then. I was 14 years old, and it took a long time to get to the mission field, about 16 years, 4 years high school, 4 years college, 4 years med school, 4 years residency, so 16 years altogether. Mm. And finally, after all that time, went to Papua New Guinea. And so it makes sense from a spiritual standpoint, but it also makes sense from a physical standpoint. In Papua New Guinea, there is one doctor for every 40,000 people. So we have 400,000 people in our province, and there's 10 doctors.
Oh.
In America, that would be 1,000 doctors for that same population. So 100 times more. So it just kind of made sense.
So the whole time you're going to college, and how many years were you in school?
16 years from when I got my calling until...
I'm sorry, Matt.
This is not that important.
I love you, but there is, for the first time since we shot Prodigal Sons, there is breaking news that must be broken. Joel Embiid got MVP of the National Basketball Association. Continue.
Awesome. Fantastic. We're so happy. So while all your classmates are in med school looking forward to making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars with their degree, You're there the whole time thinking that you're going to the mission field.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of an odd duck out because, I mean, a lot of people have a good heart when they're in medical school. They want to be a doctor to help people.
But right.
It's also, I mean, people know you're going to make a lot of money and you're going to have a good life doing it. So I was definitely not the normal person.
And you make a lot more than the average American doctor.
Oh, that's so much more.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. 14. You knew at 14.
Yep. And I mean, there was struggles along the way, obviously. Of course. But it was a long time coming.
So Lisa and I knew you a little bit throughout this stuff, throughout, you know, the later part of the journey after you got married to Tammy.
Yep.
Who Lisa's known since she was a little kid.
Yeah.
But tell us about, you know, so we saw a little bit of this, but after you get your, after you become a doctor, then you still have to do a residency here, right? And then there was further missions training, right?
Right, yeah. So we did some trips along the way to like Honduras and Haiti and Kenya. And then, we do some training with the Church of the Nazarene and then with Christian Medical and Dental Association. They kind of just prepare you for like what you're going to experience, like just how much death you're going to see and suffering and how to trust God when you see so many horrible things over on the, you know, in Papua New Guinea or wherever other people were going.
So the one thing that we see in America is, the one thing that kind of shocks me every time you say it a little bit is you said in Papua New Guinea that the hospital or I guess one of their, like the saying that they say all the time is we treat and Jesus heals.
Right.
And in America, I think we're just more like, well, we're going to trust the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Because, what do you think about, you know, the way that the different cultures or the way that, you know, you guys have a little bit different outlook as to like how people get healed?
Absolutely. Yeah. So like in PNG versus America, your physical body and your spirit, your soul is just intertwined in such a way where you can't like separate them. Where like, you know, in America, you'll trust the doctors and then you'll pray kind of like on the side.
Right.
Where like in PNG, it's just all together. So like I've had questions about like, you know, how do you like be a Christian and a doctor? You know, it's kind of separate things. Like, no, not in PNG. It's all the same thing. When you're when you're healing someone physically, you also have to think about that person as a holistic person that needs something else at the same time.
You know, it's interesting you say that because my wife Claire, her calling came from our niece was overdosing. Mm. And Claire was administering Narcan to her. Mm. And that's when the Lord spoke to her and said, how are you going to try to save her without saving her soul?
Right.
Like, what good is it trying to save a person if you're not going to save their soul?
Right.
And that's one of the things that I realized and noticed that on the mission dinner and also in district assembly, everything that you spoke about medically wasn't just this medicine, it was prayer medicine. So the whole intertwined thing is so cool how you guys, it's just part of the process.
Yeah.
It's not just healing you, it's healing the soul and the body within each other at the same time.
I mean, it's for me too. Like, I literally could not do what I do if it wasn't for Jesus in my life, because the amount of suffering and violence and death that I see. And if I didn't have that strength to support me, I would be done so fast.
Well, I remember the last time you were on a home assignment, you actually worked, I think at the ER, right? At the local hospital.
Yep.
And I remember the last time you said you really don't like the way that the American, medical field operates.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to, I mean, don't get me wrong. American healthcare is really the best in the world. It's amazing, the medical technologies and just the advancements that happen in America. But at the same time, it's just so broken and hard to navigate for people. So when they can't get into their doctors, they can't see somebody, they just end up in the ER. The ER becomes the safety net.
Right.
For anyone that just can't make it out there and just can't navigate this complicated system with health insurance companies, and it's just so difficult to manage. So even though it's so advanced, it's also just so difficult. Where like at Kujip, you can come and get screened by a nurse, get seen by a doctor, go pick up your medicine just right next door, get all your x-rays and ultrasound, whatever, just in a couple hours.
Wow.
I mean, and just go on your way. And again, we can't do everything, obviously, that we can here, but it's so much simpler.
Yeah,
you're actually the first doctor I ever heard say out loud that the system is hard to navigate.
Yeah,
because even for me, like it's hard. Like, I expect to be able to just look at my insurance policy, and say, I mean, my medical insurance, just say, all right, I should be able to get this. And it's like, right. I don't see anything here. Not just for physical. Like, I don't see anything in here for mental health. Like, how do I find this out? And then you have to.
You ask your
provider, and then you have to ask the person who handles the insurance at your job, and then they have to contact the provider, and then the provider has to find all this, and then by the time you've already had your nervous breakdown, and you've been, you're in the hospital because you can't just look at it and see.
That's what he said. You go to the ER and get it sorted out.
That makes you know, I've never heard anybody say it. Like, I've never heard a doctor say that.
I think
that.
More doctors would say that now after COVID, because it just highlighted all the systems that are messed up. And my daughter Alana had a pretty serious infection in her bone, and we had to get healthcare in Australia for a couple weeks. And it was eye-opening how smooth it was, because it was universal healthcare. And it was complicated because we weren't part of their system.
Mm-hmm.
We had to pay out of pocket. But we had a week inpatient stay with MRIs and tons of specialists and procedures and all these things. And it was literally probably 12 times less money than in America for the same care.
Wow.
Because I would know kind of a rough estimate how much it would be. It's just insane how expensive things are.
Because they know the insurance company. Anyway, whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's pharmacy. It's not.
We could do three episodes on
right.
it.
Right. And you're right. Doctors make a lot of money. But if you look at the salaries of doctors and the numbers of doctors versus the number of administrators and health insurance and all the extra people that aren't actually taking care of people, it's just going way up.
Yeah.
And anyways, yeah.
So I want to back up to, so you go to college. You go to medical school, you go to do missions training, you do your residency. So you've been planning this for 16 years. Okay. Yep. And then you get on the plane or planes.
Yep.
And you land in Papua New Guinea. First you land in Australia, and then you land in Papua New Guinea, and then you get on another plane and go up into the
Highlands. You got it, man. Good job.
What was that like that day?
Yeah.
And those following days, I mean, when you just realized we're not in America anymore, this is a whole different way to do things. Is it exciting or is it just total culture shock?
Oh, yeah. So exciting. I mean, that's the time when you have like your kind of honeymoon period as a missionary for the first few months where you're just excited about everything. It gets a little bit harder after the honeymoon period. But so we landed at Kujip, and the next day they flew us in an even tinier plane, just a little turboprop, up into the true bush. And this is like the most rural place in the world. It's called Doosan, in the middle of the mountains. And the plane just takes off and just leaves us there. No one spoke English. We didn't speak pidgin. And our job was just to learn the culture for a week.
Elijah speaks pidgin, by the way.
Nice.
You didn't know that. He's from the city.
City pidgin.
City pidgin. City
pidgin. Okay. So that was quite the experience. And we had a language teacher, which was this pastor, and he didn't speak any English, so I don't know how he speaks this. But he would just come, and we'd just sit and drink tea and coffee, and be like, coffee? He's like, yes. It's like, that's all we did.
Wow.
But it was, yeah, it was good.
How long did it take you to learn pidgin?
Yeah,
not long. It's like broken English, and there's only a few, like 1,000 words.
So oh,
it's
okay. Not,
probably took me just a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
Yeah.
So what was immediately, I mean, obviously I know everything's different, but what was something you didn't expect when you got there and you're like, oh, wow, I got to deal with this now or something, you know, along those lines?
So, I mean, immediately it's just like how stinking beautiful it is. It's just gorgeous up there in the Highlands, and I miss it a lot. But what was challenging is just the overwhelming amount of violence that is there. Domestic violence and tribal warfare and sorcery accusation related violence was really difficult. Mm-hmm.
So your wife's a teacher over
yep.
there. As far as the schools there and you being a missionary, is it just, you know, the math, the science, or is there also a devotional part of it where you bring the gospel?
For our kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they go to...
No, I'm talking about the kids over there, because she teaches in Papua New Guinea.
She teaches the missionary kids.
Oh, okay.
But she's hoping to get more with the national kids, the PNG kids. Yeah. But yes, all the kids on station, they go to different schools around the area. The Papua New Guinea kids, that is. And yeah, they're great kids. We go to church with them, and we teach in the children's church.
Gotcha.
On Sundays, once a month.
So you're there. How long are you in Papua New Guinea at one time?
So before usually you come there home? Like 21 months, and then back in America for 3 months.
Okay.
At a time. Mm-hmm.
So I've heard from other missionaries that you get so used to the lifestyle where you are serving that when you come home, that there's a reverse culture shock.
Yep.
Where you're coming back
to... That's what it's called. It's research.
Well, I just talked to people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they said that you get home, and then all of a sudden, the place that you grew up that you should know the best is like completely foreign to you.
Yeah, it can be that way. Mm-hmm.
So what is some things that you notice? And feel free to be blunt, you know, that we're all arrogant and, you know, spoiled and all that stuff. But, I mean, just what do you notice every time you come back?
I mean... Right away, I notice how much easily accessible food there is, which I miss a lot, restaurants and things. But then I get overwhelmed with, like in the grocery stores, how many like options there are for like the same thing. And I just get like so overwhelmed with that.
That's exactly what the other missionary said. They said they're like, you know, there's 18 cans of something. Exactly. You're like, I just want, like they were getting angry in the grocery store. Just give me one.
And things are just, they're so like nuanced on like how to buy things because there's like all these different deals. And there's just so many cars. Like everyone has a car, which is weird because in Papua New Guinea, maybe 1-2% of people would own a car.
Yeah, Tom's got a lot of cars. I mean, I think it's like ridiculously, it's shameful how many.
I think that's you.
I don't.
But and then there's just so much trash. the amount of trash we produce is insane.
So the trash here.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we have great ways of, you know, systems to make sure it stays out of sight.
So you don't mean like litter. You mean trash that people put production to their curbs. Yeah, yes. And the dumpsters, yes, and all that stuff.
Everything is, you know, there's just so much packaging and it just, right, trash. So much, it's waste. Insane. Waste. Yeah, right. Because in PNG, I'd go to the market. I'd just take an old, basically a sewn up bag of rice that's just sewn into a market bag, they're called. Go to the market. You buy your produce. There's literally no trash.
Okay.
But in here, it just, everything is packaged and trash.
Even not having experienced the other cultures, that's starting to get to me in my older age. It's just like every single thing has packaging.
Right.
And it's just one time use. You just get it home and throw it away.
Yeah.
Get it home and throw it away.
And then just no one says hi. So like I always run on the Schuylkill River Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just me and one other person passing me. And I always say hi, and hardly anyone will just even look at me. It's just like, we're the only people out here. We got this thing in common. We're exercising. We're out, you know, on this day, and just, no, nothing.
So one of the things that I always feel guilty when you come back and we talk, because I feel like we waste a lot of money. Do you notice that? Like, you know, even just... as much as we eat out and the fact that we get newer cars and stuff, right, you know, it's just like, I feel like as Americans, we waste a lot of money.
There's just so much to spend money on. Like in PNG, I buy food and that's pretty much it. That's what I spend my money on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there's just so many things to spend money on here.
This is an honest question. Like it may sound like I'm trying to be funny.
Go for it, man.
Is Amazon available in PNG?
No. They did have Alibaba before. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I know.
Yep.
It's the Chinese Amazon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which you can't get it anymore because of COVID. You literally like can't even send mail or a package to PNG right now.
Okay.
It's crazy.
I'm sorry. I just had to ask.
No, it's 2-day shipping. Things take about 6 months. You like 1 or 2 day shipping here. It's
no shoes, insane. Dave.
We have literally ordered stuff in the morning that has shown up by that
it's
night.
Crazy.
Like, yeah. It's like we are spoiled. We are spoiled. We are arrogant, and we are just oblivious to how, you know, you and your family have to live. Like most, we don't get it. I feel guilty right now. Just hearing
don't
you talk.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't feel guilty.
I'm torn every time I talk to him.
It has its problems too, but yeah. And I think realize that like America is the minority. Like you call Papua New Guinea and other countries that live like this is called, other people call it the majority world. Because that's the majority.
Yeah, that's kind of like how we say like first world problems. Like, oh my gosh, I don't have any ketchup. That's a first world problem because they don't have tomatoes. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
we got lots of tomatoes.
Oh, you say the produce. I love fresh produce.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really good.
Every time you talk about the market, I'm really jealous.
I miss the market. I like fresh produce. Yeah.
So right now you feel like you're not at home.
Yeah, it's so tricky with me. I think my son MJ, who spent most of his life there, would definitely say PNG is my home. And I think probably, yeah, it's getting that way because I've been there about 6 years now. So, yeah. This is still my home. This is where I grew up and everything. So I'm definitely torn. I feel like I won't feel at home until I go to heaven.
Amen. So speaking of packages, I just want to say something real quick before we run out of time. We're doing something, Operation Warm Baby. So for the month of May, we will be collecting items for Operation Warm Baby that will be shipped to the Nazarene Hospital Foundation. These donated items will create a welcome baby bag for newborns at Kujip Nazarene Hospital, where the Woodley family serve in PNG. We're going to post this on our Facebook page, but what they're looking for is newborn-sized onesies, newborn-sized sleepers, newborn hats, newborn-sized socks, diapers, plastic pants, safety pins, ivory bar soaps, washcloth, blankets, and gallon Ziploc bags. So feel free to either just drop that off at the church. We're collecting it until May 31st, and then we will ship it to where it's supposed to go, and from there they'll ship it to Papua New Guinea.
There's probably a lot more than you can list here, but what's some of the issues that are facing missionaries right now?
Facing missionaries like all around the world?
Sure.
Yeah, so I think that, I mean, that's kind of a question, depends on where you're from. Because I feel like around the world, missions is actually kind of exploding.
Excellent.
Like, outside of America, I mean. Other countries sending missionaries.
Oh, so we're not, we're just wrapped up in the...
Missions in America, I mean, like, missions going out of America is going down.
Okay.
I feel like, every time I come back, I honestly feel like it's getting less and less.
Well, that was actually one of my questions. Is there more people behind you doing what you did, or less?
I keep praying for it, man. I hope so. But I think especially with our generation, there doesn't seem to be as much interest. We're like, the older generations, they're still like, you know, hardcore out there. But
so,
yeah.
So other countries are producing missionaries.
Right. Yeah. I think
like Europe or, you know, like more third world countries.
Yep. But like Latin America and Africa, these other countries where the church is exploding and they're reading the Bible and they're seeing that they need to be going out.
Mm.
And yeah.
So. Hmm. Why do you think we're not producing missionaries anymore? Because of Amazon?
Yeah,
because we're just too comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's been some negative connotations about missionaries because of some bad things that have happened in the past. And I think the American church is quite inward focused as well on itself. So yeah, I'd like to get to the bottom of that too. I'm sure there's someone that's written something on that.
So, what are you looking forward to when you go back, or what are you looking forward to do while you're here?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a trip to Yellowstone in the near future.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
So that should be good.
I was just there like 2 months ago.
Oh, nice. Yep. And then going back, I'm looking forward to being a doctor again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good here to spend time with family, friends, help with the homeschool for the kids, and speak at churches, meet with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good to sleep every night, which is, you know, I'm on call all the time in PNG. But I miss the work. It is a good, it's tiring work, but it's a good work.
So, how can our listeners support you best to financially, sending money to our church to pass it on, or is there a better way?
Yep. So there's that. There's through the Roy's Fort Church, and there's also our blog, WoodleysAroundTheWorld.com, and there's a donate link there. It's pretty easy once you go there, WoodleysAroundTheWorld.com. Cool.
We'll get all that up on the Facebook page as well.
Well, one of the favorite things that Lisa and I do is when we do our budget every month is to be able to support you guys. So, you know, it's kind of nice to be I told you this last week. You know, it doesn't always feel like what we do here is real important. Well, Lisa is more important than my job, but because she actually helps people.
That's for sure, man.
I know.
<Just kidding.
laughs> There's no getting,
no, you're doing good work.
There's no getting around it. But you know, when we're able to support you guys, it sure makes it feel like we're doing more than we probably are.
Yeah, so. Honestly, you guys kind of give anonymously, so I don't even know, but I know you guys give, but the people that, you know, we see their names and we know they're like partnering with us, and we know that Roy's for Church always has a line there in every month, and we just feel, I mean, when we're feeling so discouraged, just the prayers and the financial support just means so much to us.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, we tend to separate those things in America. You know, the medical care, the prayer, the financial stuff, we kind of keep it all separate,
right.
But it's kind of refreshing to hear that, you know, that's part of your job is the prayer, mm-hmm. and part of like us, it's part of your job. It's it makes us feel pretty connected, even though we're on the other side of the world.
Yeah, yeah, you are really that part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're all parts of the body. Like you're the hands. Sean's the butt.
Making that popcorn.
Anybody else have any other questions?
I do have a question, real quick. When it comes to the kids, yep. What is it here that they enjoy doing that they can't do there?
Good question.
Well, I mean, they enjoy the big things, like, I don't know, going to an amusement park or like a water park. But a lot of times it's just the small things, like eating, going in the early mornings to get Susie Joe's donuts or just the little things like that.
Those are the things that count, too. The little things are more important.
And they love their cousins. They miss their cousins a lot. Yeah.
That's good. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know you said you get treated like a terrible parent when you go to the doctor every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids get a checkup every 3 years.
Yeah. And they get just loaded up with shots because they're like been missing shots so much.
The doctor's like, I don't know if you know this, but you haven't been here for a long time.
Yeah.
You don't have access to the shots that they need?
No, not the same ones. Nope. Some of them, like baby shots they would get, but yeah.
Besides the money aspect of it, where our systems here medically are hard to navigate, do you think it has at all anything to do with so the lack of resources on your end, so you have to kind of do things kind of quickly and get everything together, the MRIs the and all that stuff, and over here it's more of like, well, we'll check you out, and if something's wrong, then we can do this because we have access to that? Or it's just strictly you think it's finances is the reason why it's so hard to navigate?
I honestly think it all comes down to money. I mean, a medicine in America has just become this machine of making money where the people that own hospitals, own the health insurance, it's all about the bottom line. And it's just so hard to be a nurse or a doctor or just take care of people because there's always like metrics, like how fast and how quickly and patient satisfaction, and just like all these metrics to see. Yeah, and it's all about money, man.
I heard somebody on one of the sports radio shows of all places that I listen to said recently, he said, it seems like the only commercials on TV are the foods that make you sick and the medicines that make you live.
And that would be like when I went to Australia, they would find it appalling that a drug company could put an advertisement on the TV.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't even make any sense that you're like, the doctor should be telling you what you have. Why are you advertising to me?
Because if you need a medicine, the doctor will give it to you. And then you'll just pick it up at the pharmacy for free because it's universal healthcare. But if you don't need it, you're not going
to
get it.
Yeah, so I don't need to know if I have I don't need to wonder if I have seasonal affective disorder or like a urinary something.
You probably have that one.
I know I do, actually. Is it supposed to burn?
Oh, my.
No, I mean, not... Anyway.
You should get checked out, man.
All right. Well, I have more questions after we get off. Anybody want to pray for this mess?
Sure. Let's do this. I actually do have one question I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can answer it or not, because I can't remember the...
Ranger? Oh, Ranger. That's a good question.
I look forward to that every time you guys come home.
Ranger, for those of you who don't know, is our pet Cuscus. It's a marsupial native to Papua New Guinea and a little bit in northern Australia. It's like a big marsupial with a long tail.
Is that your profile picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he died about a year ago. He was really old.
My bad.
Very old.
How old is old?
I mean, he was probably maybe almost 15. Which for a cuscus, I think they said they live up to like 12 to 13 years in captivity. So we're guessing how old he was.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a good animal.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay.
Good job, Sean.
Now I'm curious though. Did you get him from the wild or did you get him from somebody else?
Yeah. So a Papua New Guinean had him kind of in a really tiny cage and he was kind of not doing well. So one of the missionaries before took him and built this huge cage. He was in construction. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do what you do, Dave. But so they had left and gone back to actually they went to another country. So we got him and took care of him for a couple of years.
Oh, nice.
So it was a rescue cuscus.
You going to get another one?
Eventually, but it needs to be done in the right way. Like people would just capture him and just like sell him to us, and we don't want to support that.
Understood.
But if it comes in the right way, we have a nice cage, and yeah.
Cool. Right now, it's just used as like a timeout hut.
Yeah, for MJ.
I need a cage. I wish I thought of that. I get a big cage.
I hope you build it.
All right.
Father God, thanks for bringing us together again. We're just so happy to do this, what you've called us to do. Father, this is amazing, and just keep blessing the Woodleys and everything that they do, Lord. Just keep the staff there at Kujip as they go through this a little bit extra shorthandedness, Lord. Give them the strength, give them the energy, give them the power to get through. It seems like they already have their hands full, and now with a couple of on home assignment makes it a little more difficult. So Lord, be with them. Be with our sister Lizette as she goes through whatever she's going through. Lord, you know the situation. You know how to handle it. You know how to heal it. Lord, so lay your healing hands upon her and bring her through this. Lord, for our sister Betty, also needs some healing, Lord. Please just lay your hands upon her. Be with her. Bring her the healing that she needs. Lord, in this world with everything we go through and everything we go through, busy lives and kids and work, and just keep our sanity level at an even balance, Lord, because sometimes it can get out of control real fast. For Randy and his family and for everything that's still going through, Lord, be with them. You know the situation. You know how to handle that. You know what's going on. So just continue to put the right people in place for that, Lord. For John and everything he's trying to overcome, Lord, just be with him. Let him know you're there. Let him know that you love him. Let him know that you are never going to let him go, because he needs that reassurance right now, Lord. So be with him. Father, remind us, not just us, but your people across the world, what we're supposed to be doing, Lord. We are to speak of you, praise you, worship you, help others in your name. So, Father, help us remember that everything that we do should emulate Christ. Everything that we should do should look like Christ in the streets every day. Yeah. Take us out of the bars. Take us out of the foul language. Take us out of the pornography. Take us out of all these things that we think we can include and include you in our life. Remove all those extra things, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
They don't belong to you. You don't want us to have them. They are nothing but harm to us, Lord. So remove those things. Remind us that we are all in this together. We are one body. And a body doesn't move without all its parts working correctly. So, Father, help us course correct. Help guide us in the right direction. Help us see better those that need the help, those that need to hear. Help us to see a little more like you and a lot less like us, Lord. Because if we were to do it on our own, nothing would get done. So, Father, strengthen your people. Reinvigorate your people. Revive your people. And set us out to do the task that you've asked us to do, Lord.
Yes.
We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Matt, what is the average height of a male?
Here we go.
In Papua New Guinea?
Here we go.
Is it like the same as Americans, or is it like shorter? Or?
I think it's a little shorter.
Here we go.
Like,
what is it?
What do you think would be like average?
I think in the world, is it 5'9"?
No, yeah. I mean, America is probably, yeah, is probably about that.
It's world, about 5'9", 5'9", 5'10".
So it's probably around there, maybe a little shorter, maybe like 5'8", 5'9".
Damn, yeah, man.
So, all right. Sorry, Tom. I was just trying to find you a home.
You got one.
Sounds like we'll have to look. Like
he can live in a cage for the of the marsupial.
I could fit.
You ever been to China?
I've never been to China.
I don't wonder what that is.
About 5'5", 5'6".
It might work.
No, he's there still taller.
No, I just know you wanted to retire someplace and feel more comfortable when you retire. So.
Wow.
Anyway. Are we still on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, close it.
Sorry.
Boom, boom, pop, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah, I do have to close it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for this. Is episode what?
131.
131. Listen, I was enjoying.
No, I understand.
We're used to it.
We enjoy picking on you.
It's May 2nd, 2023.
It's May 2nd,
2023.
This has been episode 131. 7:38
p.m.
of the Prodigal Sons.
Drum
and I'm
mic.
Closing this out at 7:38 p.m.
Knicks tipping off in a couple minutes.
The Knicks are about to tip off, but the Sixers have the MVP. Thank you, Dr. Matt, for joining us.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate your time, the information that you've given us, and letting us know how broken this world is compared to the one that you live in. And I'm sure we'll all try and do our part to try and make it a little better for everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our episode. Share the episode now if you're watching it. Catch us on Podcast Addict, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Share, love. We love you. We love Jesus. Jesus loves us all.
You stayed awake this whole episode.
We out.
And as the...
You couldn't wait to say that.
Stayed awake.
You couldn't wait to say that.
So proud of you, brother.
And you're still short.
So proud of you.
Remember, everybody, in the middle of the night, if you see a light, a strange light, and you hear a noise, it's just James Harden in your house opening the refrigerator to see what you have in there.
45 points.
Yeah. Imagine what it could have been if... Never mind.
We love you all.
Yeah, just enjoy having that alien on your sideline.
See you next week.
Spike Lee.
Love you guys. See ya.
Yep.